Oh, you throw around president, and you became a president yourself.
Yes.
Tell us.
I am currently president and owner of Airplay Productions. I joined forces with Ed Taylor in the mid-90s while I was continuing to produce my Oklahoman show. But I became interested in other facets of communications because I didn't know exactly where the industry was going, but I knew it was going in places that we could only imagine at the time. So I went to a telecommunications conference that was held here in Tulsa. I believe the former company, Wiltel, sponsored it. That company was a part of Williams Communications. And I met Ed Taylor there. I kind of had known Ed and knew who he was, but Ed was a pioneer in satellite and cable communications. And he had recently sold his company for quite a bit of money. And so Ed was retired from the major company that he had because he had sold it and was looking for some new projects to do. And he and I were kind of talking about some different things. And I said, well, I might be interested in working on some of your ideas, depending on what they are. And a few weeks later, I got a call from him. And he said, I have an idea that I think you might be able to help me with. Would you like to talk about it? And I said, yes. And so at the time, his idea was for a satellite project. His wife was ill, but she loved listening to radio programs from around the country, whatever she could pick up. So he wanted to form a network that would feature different radio programs and that we would transmit them via satellite. So we signed, to make a long story short, we signed people like Dr. Laura at the time, Dr. Harvey Rubin, who was a psychiatrist. So some of the different areas that we covered were liberal politics, conservative politics, health, financial. We had different categories. So we worked on this, trying to develop this idea for several months. But along came the internet and audio on the internet. There was a software called Real Audio that was being developed at the time. And Ed switched horses in midstream, as my dad would say, and said, I think we ought to try to put this on the internet. Well, this was a very new concept at the time. There was only one other company putting any audio on the internet, and that was a company in Dallas. There was a young entrepreneur there. He was transmitting via audio basketball, football, a lot of sporting events, and he was giving the programming away to try to build an audience. We were going to sell our programming, and we had a subscription-based product. He had an audience-based product. He wanted to build up his audience. And I got a call one day from this young man in Dallas, and he asked if he could come to Tulsa to talk to us because he was looking for a potential partnership, and also I'm sure he was looking for investment money from Ed. And so I talked to Ed and said, can he come up and talk to us? And he said, yes. So he did. His name is Mark Cuban. Mm-hmm. And he and Ed did not see eye to eye on much of anything that day. So we ended up without a partnership, and both companies went their separate ways. A year later, Mark Cuban sold his company for $8 billion to Yahoo. We look back on that. I guess we could kind of laugh about it at the time.
You could have been part of that.
We could have been part of that, yes.
And by the way, like Ed Taylor, I've also interviewed.
Oh, okay.
And so I got his story on the satellite world and all. But then, you know, you guys were going worldwide. Did you realize that when you went on the internet? That was worldwide stuff.
Yes. And one of the projects that we did during this period of time that I was most proud of is we joined forces with Harvard University for the first World AIDS Day on the internet. In fact, I believe it was the first webcast live on the internet. I want to say that must have been around 1995 or 6. And we didn't have many listeners, but we had some from far and away. I know there were some from Japan, I believe, and, you know, other countries around the world. So I think we had no idea at the time what this would lead to. Mm-hmm. I had no idea. I'll take that back. I had no idea. But I do remember Ed saying to me one day, and he was such a visionary, and he saw things far and away, things that the rest of us could only dream about. But he told me one time, he said, there will come a day when your entire world will be on your phone. I said, well, what do you mean by that? Well, you will watch movies on your phone. You will talk to people on your phone. You will, I forget what all he said, but it was just, you know, something that I could not fathom. But that was his special gift, was his vision. And he was, you know, had so much experience in the world of technology. And his father was in the same field. And I know Ed got much of his knowledge from his father, but, and he was a voracious reader. Before the internet, every morning, if he didn't come to, there were some days he did not come to the office. And if he didn't come to the office, he would send someone to the office with a pile of newspaper clippings, magazine articles, all for me to read. And they were things that he had read probably just the night before. But that morning, I would have a big stack of things to read. He was a great teacher. I learned so much from him. I think he and I were good partners. He would talk about ideas, and he would talk at length about something and give every detail. I was able to, and he credited me with this, but I was able to look at a large piece of information and make it more concise, like for a television broadcast. And he felt like that was one of the talents that I brought to the table for our company.
How fortunate you were to be around him. And he talked about Ted Turner and how CNN and all got launched.
He launched Ted Turner on satellite with WTBS, yes. And I was able to go to a conference in Oklahoma City, and Ted was there, and I was able to, Ed was not able to go to that, but I went and I was able to talk to Ted about Ed. He had a great deal of respect for him.
We have cable television. We were one of the first ones in America, I believe, because he lived here.
Yes, yes.
In Tulsa.
Ed is a best-kept secret in Tulsa, I think. I know not everybody outside our industry knows about him and the success that he had and the kind of visionary that he was, but Tulsa's very fortunate to have had somebody like him live here all these years, and he's still here.
Isn't it interesting how we've been able to be in this business and see things come along, and then pretty soon they start building websites. And you were so amazed by people watching your webcasts from Japan and all. Remember when they unearthed the Plymouth Belvedere that had been buried?
You were a part of that, I remember, yes.
And I was working with Ackerman McQueen at the time, and Angus McQueen was also one of those people who saw the future, and he said, we're going to do that live. And we got people coming from around the world watching this car being unearthed.
I didn't come from around the world, but I was there. And yes, there were people, I think, that were with us that were from out of town that had come to see that.
And I realized then what a website would do because of all these people who were tuning in. I could not believe that. So that's what helped me understand that what we're doing here today is important and people around the world can listen to it. And we too now get people from around the world listening to Voices of Oklahoma.